Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks Podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Todd,
and Amanda Dolan. Hello, and welcome back to the When Words Fail, Music Speaks podcast. I am Amanda Dolan here with my co-host, James Cox, along with musician, Texas musician, woo, Texas, Jonathan Moody. So thank you so much for being here with us on this cold here day. I don't know about down in your part of Texas, if it's
freezing.
Cold.
It's so cold. Well, I mean, it's not technically freezing, but for us, it's freezing.
And I know,
have a fire on right now.
I know, it looks like...
We do want to come over and sit by the fire with you.
Come on, let's go.
All right.
For all the people just listening, he has a beautiful fire in the background. His Christmas tree is still up. It's just, it's a gorgeous like setup happening. And I just want to go snuggle on that couch.
Next to the fire. Not a green screen. See,
I don't believe that's a green screen. That is.
I got to ask, is that a PRS guitar?
Actually, this is a Breedlove. It's a Breedlove guitar.
Right. The only reason why I thought it was a PRS because of those inlays, you know.
I don't know if you can read this, but it says "All in this together."
Oh wow!
That's such a cool statement to have on a guitar.
So. Is that a custom-made guitar?
It's not actually, but it is a signature model. It's not my signature model. They do sponsor me, but it's a Jeff Bridges model actually.
Oh,
But
okay.
I am a Breedlove artist. One day, maybe they'll make a signature Jonathan Moody model. But
There you go.
I fell in love with this guitar. It's beautiful and it has that awesome statement on it too. So.
I love that statement. And I was talking to James before you came on and about some of your lyrics that just are amazing.
Transcend time
What
and
was it, the
space.
one, the bitter kills the vessel from the inside? That's not quite right. Is that right?
Yeah, so bitter eats the vessel from within.
That's it.
Yeah, because
I loved it. I was close.
I have to tell you where I got that.
Oh, I
Yes,
want to
please
hear.
do. Yes.
So I actually wrote that song. It was I was watching, I can't remember what it was. I think it was on YouTube. It was a YouTube thing about these two guys who go into an Amish community and like go live with them for like a few days. And the father, like the father, I guess, of the house was in driving him in their buggy, in his buggy, and he was like, they were like, "Hey, you seem so happy. What's your secret?" And he was like, he said something like, it wasn't exactly like that, but he said something like, "Bitter, if you're bitter, it eats you from the inside." And he was like, "You just can't have any bitterness. You have to let it go." I was like, "Oh, that's good." And then I was like, "I wrote that song."
It is a, I love that song because I have definitely been, I think we all have been in those places where we hold on to the hate or the frustration or the whatever that thing is, and we hold on to it, and it's exhausting.
It's the struggle's real. Everybody struggles that. If you're human, you have felt that before.
And your new album is Gypsy Soul is the name of it, and it was just released a few weeks ago, right?
Yep.
It is spectacular.
Thank you.
And I don't know about what James thought, but there was like some big band kind of vibes happening there in like the best ways, like country and big band, who knew? I don't know if that was your intention, but that's what I heard.
No, it's funny because I wrote most of those songs finger-picked ballad style, like
Really?
yeah, and then we get in the studio and we're like, I wonder if it would sound like put sax and trumpet on this. Oh, like what about like a Rhodes like keys and it's weird how it like takes a whole new direction sometimes once you get in the studio. It's just like, wow, this is a different song now. But I like it.
It's incredible.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I was going to ask you, would you consider this to be a mental health album? Because you have songs like Let Go and Gypsy Soul, which Gypsy Soul, I will say that's my number one song ever that I love. I love that song to death,
Oh, thank you.
because I love the lyric, put the angels and demons on hold. And for me, I mean, you gotta do that sometimes to get your brain right, I guess it would say, So yes, so you would consider this your mental health album if you,
Oh.
yeah, right?
Almost every song I write seems to feel like that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Good.
I
Good.
mean,
Because that's
yes.
what people need,
Yep, and because Can You Hear Me Now was a like a plea, like, hey, I'm like struggling here, and yeah, like that you mentioned that line, that's probably my favorite line in Gypsy Soul, because like let the angels put my demons on hold, because it's like, cool, because that's like the worst demons
The worst
inside you,
nightmare, right?
it can be, and you have to like redirect, I guess. It's such a hard struggle, but I think most creative people, I guess, or musicians, or if you paint, or if you just have any kind of like creative outlet, you normally have some demons back there. I mean, everybody does, but it feels like they're pronounced sometimes whenever, yeah.
I mean, I think that art comes from pain almost. Like you have to get it out, and art is often the way that it shows up. Of course, like I'm in the mental health field, so like therapists, we're some of the craziest ones out there. We have,
Right. A little
well,
bit
I think we
crazy,
like we
right?
want to understand ourselves,
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's why, I mean, psychology was probably the most interesting course I took in college. Where I was like, oh, Interesting.
Same. And then I decided to get a master's in it because I was like, I was a chemistry major. I was going to do organic chemistry, and because I'm a glutton for punishment, I guess, and realized that psychology was where, like, mental health is where my heart was, and
Yeah.
here I
Well,
am.
yeah, and that's it's good that because it used to be so just not talked about. And
Yeah.
now it's like, okay, I don't care who you are, you can benefit from talking to somebody.
Right.
And like, even when
Absolutely.
life is amazing, like you could benefit from talking to, because there's our hard parts always to life. And so like it helps to talk. And
Well, and having someone that's not like judgmental about your situation doesn't have the same vested interest that maybe your friends have, or like there's a benefit in that. And there's so much hard stuff going on in the world right now. It's just
Yeah.
hard, you know, like whether it's being a new parent or moving, which I think are two things that have happened recently in your world. Like that's a lot to deal with, and it can be, I mean, all of that can be rough. And then trying to pay your bills, doing what you love,
Everything.
or you know, it's hard.
Life
And
is
I hate saying it like that, but there's beauty in it.
Yeah.
And you can find like the incredible places to find joy.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's more you have to look for it sometimes. Sometimes you really have to look for the good in things. But I found everything that happens, because some of the worst things that I feel like have happened to me have led to some of the best things that have ever happened to me. So it's now it's like, oh, bad things start happening, life is tough. Instead of being, oh man, well, I sucks to be me. I'm like, okay, well, what can I look for that's going to be a door that opens up? Because there's normally one.
So when you were writing Gypsy Soul in Let Go, was that a reflection of you? Were you in like a dark state of mind when you wrote it, or did you look at someone else and like, okay, well, I think this song can inspire this guy or girl to get out of there, whatever, you know?
Yeah, I would say, because I think when I first started writing songs, I was writing songs that I thought people wanted me to write. And this whole album, every single song on here just came from here. I just didn't care. Not that I want people to connect with it. Obviously, that's one reason I want to
Course.
put it out there, is that hopefully some of the songs inspire, some of them comfort, some of them, at least just let people know that other people are going through the same things. And then, but every single song on here came from just like my heart, and whatever came out. And yeah, I was up in Colorado, up in the mountains. When I wrote Gypsy Soul, and because I travel all over the place, and I'm not home that often, and it's like,
Yeah.
I don't know, everywhere can feel, even though you're searching for that right place, I mean, everywhere can be home if you're in the right, frame of mind. And so I think that song has a lot of different meanings, and Let Go is kind of one of those songs where I'm super thankful. I had a great upbringing, just amazing childhood, and my dad's actually a Church of Christ preacher. And
Nice, nice.
I'm a PK.
Me too.
You too? Oh, really? I heard.
Yeah.
So you so,
Presbyterian,
oh, similar-ish.
but still.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Very, very
still.
music based
Yeah.
too.
Yeah. Yes.
So
So.
like, yeah, I think a lot of some of the things that I learned when I was younger, I feel like a lot of it I've held to, but then some of it I've let go of. Because there's I think a tendency sometimes for people to be judgmental, and I was that way for a long time. And just it's not my place, and let go of all those preconceived notions is one of the lines in that song. And it's like, well, some of the things that I've thought when I was younger maybe are not right, and I just let go of that. And
And like I think it goes down to just one, knowing what you believe, like you as an adult, not as what you were taught or what you were told to believe. I think as we get older, we, like you said, let go of of a lot. Like there's not as much time to spend in that, like you're not good enough or and I always tell like clients of mine, like judgment, like judging people is not necessarily a bad thing when you do it for the reasons of like, oh, I want to date this person. I need to judge whether or not they're going to be a good fit for me versus I'm judging this person as not good enough.
Sure. Right.
But I think it's so easy to get caught up in the I'm right and you're wrong, or and then it's such a narrow view. We don't get to see the beauty that is the whole world, the different points of views, or you know, all of that, which is
sure.
I'm curious, is it it's the song is Avery, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a who's that song about? I mean, obviously Avery, I guess, but
Yep, that's so my niece, she actually drowned when she was almost two. And it took me, man, 4 or 5 years to write that song. I couldn't do it. I just like it was in me, but I couldn't let it out.
Yeah.
And it took me a little while just to be like, okay, well, and then I sat down and I wrote that song, and she was just like a super happy little baby, just one of those little babies that brings joy to everybody she comes across because she's smiling and happy, and she loved music. She'd come up, and I remember one time she was we were playing a festival kind of set up, and she's wearing her little pink tutu, red tutu, and like tries to run up on the stage with me, and just adorable, you know. And so so I that's that song was for her.
It's a beautiful song. I love the, and to look back, you're the chill in the air, I can feel you everywhere. And I think there's something, so you know, we interviewed somebody recently as well about a grief journey. I'm definitely on one as well right now, and I think we can feel alone in it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's alone because the people around us don't understand or alone because that person's gone.
Sure.
But I love that she's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's.
Yeah. I have it right now, actually.
Like,
I'm actually like, yeah, no kidding, like, I have it right now. I mean, honestly, that experience made me less afraid of death because I still felt like her presence, I guess. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it kind of like made me less afraid of death,
which is powerful. I think that because we do so much out of fear instead of out of living, which is a whole lot of what your album is really about, is just living in the moment and being present, whether it's.
Well, I do. Okay. So I do have a question for you, Jonathan. So I could find this song on Apple Music, but it says it's on, I don't know, but I guess I overlooked it. But the song is Get There One Day, and I found it on YouTube, from your channel. And that song I guess that song is for everybody, you know? Because that song, okay, so the lyric, if you will, I like the lyrics, most give up, it's easy to quit. Many will tell you that you don't have it. Cancel the noise, turn up the song, walk the street proud, you're not doing it wrong, you know.
So
I feel that's like an anti-bullying song, if you will. And you can probably elaborate more than I can. But that speaks to everybody, you know, not just one or a few, you know. So I take it that song, you wrote it for everybody because I guess you felt that you were bullied or like what inspired you to write all that?
For sure. I remember what I was actually having a conversation with my sister, and I was talking about like, a lot of the songs I'm hearing now, just there's a lot of good stuff out there, but a lot of them just aren't really, they're not doing something. I said, I want to do something good with a song.
Yeah.
And get there, and I was like, I want to inspire people. I was like, I get to travel all over the place and play my guitar and sing, and the thing that I love doing the most for my career, and it's amazing. And I'm like, I want to encourage other people to do that, to follow their passion. And if there's something that you love doing, do it, you know. And then don't let anybody stand in your way. The only person standing anywhere is you, and that's one of the lines as well. Like, and it's like, hey, if you're passionate about something, you're going to be the best at that thing that you're going to be at anything because you're passionate about it and you love doing it. And you're doing it with your heart. And yeah, I was actually bullied when I was younger, when I was in elementary and middle school, like
I think we all are sometimes, but we were afraid to open up to somebody because they're like, nah, you're not, you're just making that up. No one believed you at that time. And I'm sure Amanda dealt with this.
Oh
But,
yeah.
so I think
And I
it's
think it's, I want to say it's better now. I have teenagers, so like I
yes, it
have a
is better.
different perspective. I want to say it's better. And also,
But it's
if
still
I
wrong.
read it right, you graduated from college in 02,
I did.
so we're all roughly the same age, mid 40s.
Let's say
I'm going.
mid-30s.
I just turned
We're just
45.
bad at math, and we were,
I just
whatever.
turned
Yeah, I
45
think
you might be the youngest one here, so it's
the
okay.
other day.
But when we were kids, when you left school, you left school. Like people had to call you and probably talk to your parents to get to you. Whereas now, I don't, my kids have computers and Instagram and TikTok and Snapchat, the all those ways that you don't ever leave, if you will. So it's, I think it's better because we talk about it, and also it can be really insidious.
You never, there's no break.
Yeah, well, there's no break for most of us anymore with cell phones, and we're always reachable. It's, I mean, disconnecting is kind of an amazing thing when we get to do that. Which, like there's a little piece of me, I'm not like, I don't want to jinx this, but like, what was it, 3 years ago when we had the ice storm in Texas, and at least up here, we didn't have power. And there was something kind of awesome about like being a little bit disconnected and also scary. Like, so, but I want to, I'm curious because you played baseball in college. You are the second in the in this month college athlete that we have spoken to that is now a professional musician.
Interesting.
So I'm curious, like what, yeah,
Happened.
well, no, well, yes, like how does that happen? Because I don't usually think of like
Right.
college athletes being
Sure. Yeah.
musicians.
It is interesting how it is a completely different path.
Oh
Like,
yeah, big
not
time.
the path I thought I would be on. I'm glad it happened that way. But actually, I played baseball and like obviously through high school, and then I was getting scouted by pro scouts, my junior and senior year, and then I got an eye infection in my right eye that messed up your depth perception. Pretty important for hitting a baseball.
Yeah, I think.
And so
Yeah.
my plans kind of like I thought, maybe I might get drafted out of high school, and I thought that was going to be my career, was to be a baseball player. And but I was talking to one of the hitting coaches at A&M, and he was like, hey, I got offered a scholarship to play some junior college baseball in Florida. And he's like, take the scholarship, come back and play here, and then you can definitely make a career out of it, after that if you want. And well, I went to Florida and went to the beach one weekend. And I was like, I want to do this instead. This is more fun. I want to just like be a kid for once, because it was like a full-time job. Like I mean, it's
It
like
is.
practice, and then you got to go to the weight room, and then as a freshman, a scholarship athlete, I had to go to mandatory tutoring like for an hour or two a day. And I was like, I had no time to like just be a kid.
B.
So I went to the beach, and I was like, this is awesome. And then.
And you had to eat right,
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Yeah, because I know baseball players can't eat like fatty stuff,
Well,
I
I
guess
mean,
there was
athletes
something.
in general have to fuel your body in a different way. And it's interesting you said that. My son is a sophomore football player and he loves playing football. And when we've talked, he's like, I might play in college, but I don't want to do Division One. Like, I don't want to plan for a scholarship. Like, I don't want that to be my, because I don't want to be my job after college. So why do I want it to be my job in college?
Yeah, just because you love doing it.
Right.
And
He's,
that's what
yeah, he has fun.
that's awesome. That's important, because I kind of lost that. It was a job. It was a job even like late high school, because I was just has nonstop.
And I think even more now, with all the, I don't know, the club teams and all of that, kids get so caught up in, I mean, that's their whole life and their parents' money. Like, it's expensive and it's time consuming. But you talked about like that perseverance, that like it's part of your life. And so how does that work into your music then, like practice? Oh, or
for sure. I think like it's funny because I was talking to somebody literally yesterday about this, is that in baseball, if you fail 7 out of 10 times, you're good. You have a 300 batting average, you're good. You have 400 batting average, you're really good. You know, that's still failing more times than you're succeeding. So in the music industry, well, there's a lot of failure you got to like let roll off your back, and you got to keep rolling. You got to keep going. And I think that taught me a lot, was just like, you learn a lot from failure if you get back up, you know? And so that's one thing that I think, and the perseverance, obviously, like you work hard. You just have to like, I mean, I have a lot of sleepless nights. There's some nights I'll play in San Francisco, and then the next night I got to play in New York, and I sleep on the plane. I land, I go to my gig, and I go play. And then I'm like, I'm worn out, but you just got to keep going. You got to keep pushing. You can do it if you just push, you know? And I think that sports was definitely a really awesome learning tool for me.
Oh, yeah, I think it teaches teamwork, which I know in music, you've got to be able to work with like your sound board guys. And
absolutely.
Cause as before we recorded, you had a little getting, you know, everything plugged in and on floor does technology. It's hard.
Exactly.
And when you're like, you play and you open for a lot of different people, and you travel, but is it different than like a band that travels with their whole crew and has, you know, stagehands and
that's
all cool of that? Is it different than that when you're opening for, or you did the set in between Lady Gaga's practice, right? And you've done a ton of corporate stuff and.
Yep. Yeah.
How is that different than like going on tour just by yourself?
You know, and that's what we've been in the corporate world, and it's been amazing. We've you know, got to play some really good, that Lady Gaga Pepsi Super Bowl hired us to play between her halftime show rehearsal sets. So we're just kind of seeing the halftime show rehearsal. We're seeing the halftime show with all of like the Pepsi and Super Bowl executives and stuff. So we got to sit there and watch too, like, but and then when they take a break, we went on and play to entertain people, and then they come back on, and it was really cool, and we've gotten to do a lot of really cool stuff like that. But yeah, I don't have a guitar tech yet. I always say, like, when I don't have to change a string,
right.
I'll be like, that I will have made it, you know,
because right.
And I'm like, I'm a chronic string breaker, because I get into it and I strum so hard.
Yeah.
Break some strings. I'm like, one day I'm gonna have a crew and I have a guitar tech that I can hand that guitar. They hand me the guitar back, and then they, you know, switch a string on that one. So
especially if you have light strings, you know, I'm not sure what gauges you use, but I mean, light strings are, yeah, they're
I'm using mediums. That's the thing. I cannot, I have to use piano wire, I guess. I don't know.
I got okay. So the Gypsy Rose album was recorded in Seattle. Am I correct on that?
Yeah. So
at the Troubadour.
Gypsy Soul, and then Pretty Girl, Off the Shelf, Get There One Day, and what was the other one? There was another So five of the songs were recorded at Bear Creek Studio in Seattle.
Okay.
And so we actually recorded that with Ryan Hadlock. He's amazing. He was our producer for that. And then he did like the Lumineers Oh Hey album, and Zach Bryan, Something in the Orange, Vince Joy, Brenda Carlisle. Really, really awesome albums. And it was an honor to work with him, because he's a genius. And so we recorded that, and then my plan was to, let's record half the album, and then we'll go back and record the rest of it So we went home, did our gigs and stuff, and then the world shut down.
Right, yeah.
And they're like, oh, uh-oh. So I had these five songs I was super proud of that was just, they were just like burning a hole in my pocket because I was like, I really wanted to put them out, but I wanted to finish the album before I started to like release all of them. Oh, and Mountain is Calling. That was the other one.
Got
we
it.
did release that single a while ago.
Okay.
That one was released a couple of years ago, but that was all in that session. And then the second half of the album, we went to Austin and recorded it at Orb Studios with Scott Graham. He produced the second half of the album, and equally happy with those songs as well.
Because I was wondering if you recorded the rest of the album at Texas or Nashville, because I know you've been to Nashville and you've been to Grand Ole Opry and stuff like that, you know. So
yeah, we do a lot in Nashville.
I heard that Nashville's a great place, you know.
Oh, it's great. It's so much fun. That was funny because the Grand Ole Opry, it was for a corporate event. I wish it was for the Opry, maybe one day, hopefully soon. I'll get there one day.
One day, right?
Yeah, I'll get there one day. Yeah. But they asked us if we could play. They were like, hey, could you play at like 7 a.m. tomorrow morning? And I was like, okay, musician, 7 a.m. That's pretty rough. I can stay up till 7. Getting up for 7 is tough. But they were like, well, it's on the Grand Ole Opry stage. I was like, I'm not sleeping tonight.
Right. Exactly.
It's like, yeah, somebody said, like, can you do something at 2 a.m.? And I was like, there's a 2 a.m.? That does not exist. There's 2 p.m. But no.
That's exactly what it would be like for most normal people. That's like asking them to come in at like 1 or 2 in the morning to do something productive.
Yeah, I could not, but I'm so excited for you that you were able to do that.
Thank you.
And because he will tell you, James will tell you that I am the like weird. I like to find all of the things. But you talked about that, you know, if 30, you know, you've got a 30 or 300 hitting average, right? Mm-hmm. You're a good hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think about, you know, failing and then Rick Camp. I couldn't remember his name. Who was batting for the Braves in 1985. It was a 19 inning game.
Oh, wow.
And he was a pitcher for the Braves. And he was only hitting because like they had run out of people, but he won the game. Like he was not a hitter, but he was put in the right place at the right time. And all of the things lined up just right. And I think that that's kind of what you were talking about. It's like you've got to be willing to fail to fly. Or yeah. That sounded so corny. I'm sorry.
No, it's like step up to the plate, literally.
Right.
Because if you don't, swing. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. I know all of those are such cliches, but
yeah.
But it's true. Like you've got to put yourself out there. And for you, I mean, you didn't start off as like music being your career.
Mm-mm, not at all. Not at all.
So what was it? What was your goal when you graduated college? Like, what were you planning on?
You know, it's so crazy. People ask me that all the time. Like, oh, how did you get started into music? And honestly, I did not even mean to be a musician. I never even crossed my mind. Like if you'd have told me when I was 25, 26, that I would be a professional musician traveling all over the place playing music. I'm like, no way. There's no way.
You got
to cross my mind. Yeah. Not even at all. Yeah. So I graduated from A&M and I actually had a landscaping business that I had started when I was like 17. And I did that through college. And then I sold that business about a year and a half after I graduated. And I moved to San Antonio and I did sales for a little while. And then I started another landscaping business there, did that for about a year, sold that one. And then I took a new sales job right after I sold that company. And a month after that is when the crash of 08 happened.
Right.
And I was like the newest person in San Antonio. They're like, hey, I'm so sorry. We have company-wide layoffs. Every new person that hasn't been here for a while is getting laid off. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Bummer.
Right.
Okay, well, I didn't realize how hard it would be to find something else at that time because
everyone was laid off.
No one was hiring. And I started going to open mic nights, and I started playing open mic nights. And within a few months of playing every week at this open mic, they offered me a gig. They were like, and I was like, oh yeah, cool. I definitely need the money right now. I don't have an income. And so I played that gig, and someone heard me that I think it was that night even, and they said, hey, we need somebody over at our place every Wednesday. Can you do it? And I was like, sure. And then within, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, I had 8 gigs a week. And I was like, I guess I
Ow.
can do this. It just snowballed. It's so crazy.
And
Okay.
you least expect it.
So let's say down the road, hopefully soon, you get a like a biopic series, right? Movies based on you, right? What songs would be in the movie at the beginning, middle, and end? And it cannot be country. It could be like a totally different genre. What three songs would that be in your biopic?
Ooh, like so if there was a movie about me, but not my songs, someone else's songs?
It cannot be country songs.
Okay.
It can be any other genre, but country. Three songs. Got an
Let's
opening
see.
song, a middle song, and a credit song. What would it be?
That's a good question. I've never thought about that. That's
I've never thought about that.
let me think here. It's so sometimes my mind works backwards because I'm like, oh,
Oh,
what was
good. Yeah, my
my closing credit song?
yes. We'll start with it first.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of what, so I normally like connect with sad songs. Like, I mean, I love happy songs too, but I would say the middle song, there's a song that really gets to me every time I hear it. I don't know if you've heard of the band Oh Hellos.
I am not.
They're actually a Texas
Yeah.
band, but they're amazing. They've played Red Rocks, like they're doing really well. And they're an incredible band. But there's a song called I Have Made Mistakes. And there's that song, every time I hear it just like makes me tear up. And I think that would be my middle song. That would be the middle of
Perfect.
the That would be the middle because,
Yeah.
like, there's hope later. So maybe the first song, let's see what the opening song.
Opening song, you know.
Man, that is a really good question. I think maybe the end song might have to be like, I'm a huge John Denver fan. I love
Okay.
John Denver.
Yes. I love
Take me
you.
home, country roads. Like, take me home.
Yes.
Oh my God, that is what I was thinking. I was about to be like, I think it
Yes.
would be Take Me Home, Country Roads for you,
No.
but
Right.
this happen.
to the place.
That's awesome.
That's such a fantastic
I
song.
was, I mean, I was genuinely thinking like that would be it, but I'm not going to say that because that I don't know him that well. I just listen
I
to
love it. I love now I'm a huge John Denver fan. So I think, yeah, Take Me Home, Country. That's awesome. Great minds think alike, right?
That's
But
right.
we've talked about like that going back to your roots, like home is wherever you are. And so it's like that the end would be like landing at home, like wherever that is.
And some people would say John Denver is country, but I don't think he is.
Yeah.
I think
Nah.
he's like more, singer-songwriter, I guess, is
Right.
what.
Yeah. Folky and yeah.
Yes.
For sure, for
He'd
sure.
be Americana. Like, could he
Yes.
have been like the like one of the founders of that
Right.
genre almost?
OG Americana, I think that's right.
That's what we're gonna call him that.
And so
And then you
let's.
got the opening song. What does the whole movie go out with? Or you know.
The opening song. Let's see.
You got rock, you got pop, you got rap, you got jazz, got metal, new metal, you know.
I feel like it's classic rock.
Or,
I don't know. I'm just
but
making stuff up.
maybe something kind of upbeat, like it's an upbeat start, and then there's like a kind of a sad middle, and then upbeat end. It's like I feel like that's a good journey to start strong, and then you struggle a little bit, and then you get strong again at the end. So maybe like something upbeat and fun.
Kind of like Boston, you know.
Yeah, or maybe like see, I love the Lumineers. Like
Oh, they're
something like
fantastic.
either or like Mumford and Sons or something like folky upbeat kind of fun. Maybe something like do you know Stubborn Love? by the Lumineers.
No.
No.
It's like there's a line. It was really cool. I actually saw them at Red Rocks in Colorado. It was amazing. And they split the audience in half. It's 10,000 people with this amazing amphitheater. And they on this song, "Starving Love," they split everybody in half and said, "All right, this side sing this part. This side sing that
Wow.
part."
Yeah.
So it says, "Keep your head up, keep your love, keep your head up, love, keep your head up, you love." And I was like, "Oh, I love that!" Like, so that song gets me. It hits me a different way. So I would say, yeah, start with "Starving Love," and you go a little more kind of somber. "I have made mistakes," and then "Take Me Home, Country Roads."
Denver, love it, love it. Yes, those are all. Those are all great.
I'm over here like looking at the listening in my ear to Stubborn Love,
That's
which
great.
is
Such a good song.
my ADHD like gets the best of me sometimes, and I can't not look at or listen to.
Oh yeah. I definitely
But
have the squirrel.
yeah, oh, it's oh, I like this line. It's better to feel pain than nothing at all. The
Yes.
opposite of love's indifference. So
Yep.
pay attention now. What a great.
It's awesome. Such a good song.
And I love the Lumineers too, because they're kind of not really a genre exactly, right? Kind of like you. I hope that's
I
okay
feel like
that I say,
that.
like,
So
you don't really have a genre.
I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, especially, man, I'm telling you, was there cowbell? What song was there cowbell on? I swear there was.
I'll probably get there one day. There was for
Don't
sure,
Fear the Reaper.
yeah. Oh,
But
come on, one of my songs
yeah, your one of your songs. What's
we'll
what, am
start.
I making that up? I maybe
No,
is one.
get there one day. I do feel like there was definitely some
Oh,
cow.
yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I think we even had some vibra slap in one of them. I think it was off the shelf.
Which I think I love, like you talked about with that it started with you, just you and your guitar, and then it grew into really a beautiful album with so many different influences that I'm
Thank
telling
you.
you, like there was big band, there's cowbell, there's some jazzy stuff happening.
For sure.
I
Yeah.
really,
People always
and
ask what genre I'm like, I have no idea.
you're
Listen to you tell me what you think.
everything, right? Yeah.
I feel like that's becoming
The
a
standard.
little more common with especially more independent and like artists that are not necessarily with a giant label telling them exactly what to do, like taking the formula out of the music, which you talked about earlier. It's just writing for yourself and trusting that the audience will connect.
Speaking of writing for yourself, I'm going to ask you a question about your songwriting. Instead of the generic question, how did you do this? I'm going to take another twist, okay? If your songwriting process was a recipe, what would it be the most surprising ingredient for you?
I would say, the ingredient, I mean, I don't know if it would be an ingredient, but like not forcing it is probably, because to me, like, I just want it to come out. All the songs that I feel the best about came out in like 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's just like, I think that's like, patience, maybe. That would be it. Patience,
Yes.
like, hey, don't force it. It's not a race to finish as many songs as you can. Quality over quantity. I need to write way more because I have very small quantity of songs, but like I feel good about the ones that we put out. And so, and I don't want any filler because I don't know if y'all remember back in the day when albums came out, it felt like some of the songs were just like filler.
Yes, all
Yeah.
the time. Yeah. That's why
And
very few of them are like straight bangers from song one to song 10. There's very, very few of those albums out
I mean,
right
that's yeah. But you had the A side, you had the release,
Right.
the
Single.
song that came out on the radio, and then that
Single.
was like
Yeah.
it, or maybe one more.
Right. And that was it, the whole
And I
album.
wonder, so that makes me think, is that what's changed some of that?
I would say that for sure, like has made that a little bit more. And then now people are, and that's what we did. We released singles every month and then released the compiled album.
Yeah.
You know, because I
Right.
mean, it's a different landscape now Totally different. And like you said, there's so many people like me that are not on a big label deal or anything, and that they can just do whatever they want, you know? And it's like, it's pretty cool.
I mean, I've never tried to. I've released podcasts and things, but I mean, I think kind of anyone can put music on Spotify or Apple Music, or you know, if you have the right technology and you know how to do it and get it all set up, which means that it's accessible to everyone now. You don't have to have that big whatever it is behind you.
Like a few bands get to be there. It's like, it's way more accessible.
And I mean, I love it because I find bands that I would have never found otherwise. You know, bands that like growing up would have been local, right? Like the local shows that you went to. And now they're on Instagram or TikTok and they show up on your, you know, as you're scrolling and you get excited about something new and different. At least that's my experience.
And then like Pandora, like you like I've discovered bands I would have never heard probably because I'm like, oh, hey, I like the Lumineers. Listen to a Lumineer station on Pandora, and then I get introduced to like these bands that I probably would have never heard. And then I'm like, oh, this is my favorite music now, you know?
It's yes. Mine is Brandi Clark Radio right now on Apple Music. That's my go-to. But that's where I like I had never I didn't find Brandi Carlile until I found Brandi Clark,
That's great
which is
artist.
interesting. But they're both from Seattle. They're both like Northwest, you know, and they sing together. They're amazing. But it's interesting how I found I won't tell you how I found Brandi Clark. It's a story for another day, but that's how I found like just starting to play that. And it's wild because I'm like, I should have found Brandi Carlile 20 years ago.
He's unbelievable.
Because I mean, I listened to, you know, well, not the same, but I listened to that, you know, kind of music. Somehow she just which is part of the, she didn't have a huge label behind her getting her on the radio. And so, you know, you didn't necessarily find those incredible, I mean, Brandi Carlile, like we can all just admit that she is a
She's good.
spectacular artist,
She is like her
songwriter,
songwriter. Wow.
singer, human. Her
Oh,
book, I don't know if you've read her book, is it Wild Horses? Is that the name of it?
yeah.
It's her memoir. It's spectacular. And if you ever read her memoir, you need to get it actually as an audiobook because the songs that she talks about
Played.
like are part of the book. Like you hear them, like she's, you know, they're in there and it's just amazing.
He's unreal.
Yes. And to work with somebody that's worked with her, like that's
It was pretty cool. Like he did the Fire Watcher's Daughter. He produced that album for her. And it's cool because Josh Newman actually her cellist played on our album.
Oh, wow.
It's funny because he was like, "Hey, I wonder if Brandi will come sing harmony." And I was like,
Oh,
"Please make
well,
that
right.
happen.
Yeah, that
Make
would be
it
amazing.
happen one day, hopefully, because
One day, right?
he
Yeah.
is a phenomenal songwriter, just unbelievable vocalist. Like her songs, I actually cover "The Joke" by her.
Oh, that is a beautiful song, and it has to be so hard to sing.
Yeah, it's not
I mean,
easy.
it just
She's
it's a song. Like there is some
hard stuff in there, right? Yeah.
I can't I don't know the words that I want to use, but
Well, there's
it
a there's one line in it that says, "I see you, I see your eyes behind your hair." Talking about this woman, they dress you down and tell you that you're to get in your place or something like that. After carrying your baby on your back across the desert, and then it says, "I see your eyes behind your hair, and you're looking tired, but you don't look scared." I was like, "Oh man."
Yeah, right.
It's
Yeah,
like
she just,
she'll get you. She'll
right.
get you right there.
She's, yeah, it's, and lyrics, back to lyrics, those always hit me.
It is. So, Jonathan, we do have four more questions for you, and I do thank you again for coming on. First question is there ever going to be a Christmas album from you? Because I see on your little light thing you got Let It Snow, and I think
Which is
that it's the best
spectacular.
cover song I've ever heard of that song because it's so soulful. No one sings it like you, buddy.
Oh, thank you very much. I actually, it's funny because I was trying to record a Christmas album to release for this year, but
And then you had a baby. Oh,
I ran out of time.
yeah. Yeah.
I ran out of time.
I
So
mean,
it's funny. That is a major goal because I am a
okay, good.
total dork. I love Christmas. It's my favorite
Yes,
time of
yes.
year. And I absolutely I love Christmas music. It just puts me in a good mood and like all the Christmas movies and yeah, for sure, by next Christmas, I will absolutely have a Christmas album.
Yeah, because
Sweet.
that song, the way you do it, just does something to me I can't explain to you. I think it's the way you have those you put the words in. So I don't know. I can't explain it to you. I don't know. It's but
Thank you
I
very
think that's
much.
how you know a song is great. When someone's like, I just like it. It's great. I can't
Don't know why.
explain it. It's great.
Yeah. That's
Well,
it.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's funny because like Christmas songs intimidate me
Yo.
because there's a lot of like jazzy chords and like most of them are done on piano more or like so and they're so like epic. They're so classic, you know. And there's some songs like. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Like it's a hard, I actually recorded that one. I'm still working on it, but
Okay, yeah.
so jazzy chord. And I'm an okay guitar player, but I hire the real guitar players to like, jam behind me. But I'm like,
Right.
well, these chords are chords I never play, you know? So,
Yeah.
Christmas songs are kind of tough, but they're awesome. I love singing them.
And I think too, there's so much nostalgia in
Yeah.
Christmas songs that we all have like memories, or many of us have memories around those like Christmas songs and specific versions of them too, I think, especially like that have been covered over and over again. But there's always the standard, right? Like Mariah Carey, you got some, oh gosh, why did my brain just George
All I
Michael,
want
right?
for Christmas is you.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many, like, and last year I gave you my heart, and the very next day
You took it away.
you took it away. This year.
Darn
Yeah,
it. Right.
particular.
Yeah.
Sorry, I see, I know lyrics to songs. I couldn't tell you
Who sings them? Yeah.
who sings them. I have a
Title
problem. It's I don't.
lyrics are the most
So
important.
I do have one more question, and then I'll let Amanda finish up. Just give her two questions that she has for you. Throughout your whole career, has there been anybody that gave you the strangest piece of advice, but it turned out so well to be more valuable than any other piece of advice? I'm
Oh,
talking
yeah.
about like the strangest one.
I'm trying to think if I got any strange. I haven't gotten a lot. I don't think I can. Like, I don't think I would classify it as strange advice.
Yeah.
I always tell. I actually tell the story a decent amount. There was a guy named James Perez. He's no longer with us. But a phenomenal musician, just a good person. And he hosted the first open mic night that I was good to. And he was just one of those musicians who encouraged you, and like whether you had the talent level to really be up there or not, which I didn't at first. I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. This is scary. And he would encourage you. He's like, hey, I'll see you next Sunday. Like, come on out, come back. And I remember one day we were sitting down afterwards, and he was like, hey, so do you like doing it? And I was like, yeah, I love playing and I love singing, and it's just I love doing it, but. Man, it's terrifying to get up there and play for people. And
Is that yeah.
it's like he was like, you know what? If you love doing it, then don't care what anybody else thinks. And I was like, easier said than done. And he was like, well, who's one of your favorite artists? I said, Dave Matthews. I love Dave Matthews. I'm a huge Dave Matthews fan. And he was like, okay, so you think Dave Matthews is one of the greatest artists to ever grace the stage? I was like, yeah, for sure, he's amazing. He said, does everybody like Dave Matthews? I said, well, no. Of course not. I mean, there's not anybody that everybody likes. And he's like, He's like, exactly. He was like, so it doesn't matter how good you get, you're never gonna make everyone like you. He's like, so you go do you. You put your voice out there, and the people who are gonna like you are gonna like you, and the ones that are not gonna like your music are just not gonna like it, and there's nothing you can do about it. He says, so be you, do you, and the fans that are meant to be your fans will be your fans.
That's really perfect advice.
Great life advice, great
I've
music
never thought
advice.
about it like that.
Yeah, well, growing up, my dad always said, and I'm sure this came from someone incredible, but he always said, you can please some of the people all of the time or all of the people some of the time,
Yes.
which is that. And then, like you said, someone famous said that. I have no idea who it was. But then, like with your newest album, you talked about you wrote the music that you wanted to write. And it, I mean, it shows it, you can feel the feelings in it. Like you can feel it.
That's my only hope right there.
I'm telling you, I didn't get a chance to listen to it until today. And then I was like, oh, I like this. And then I got so like lost in it that I got distracted from like my real life. So in the best ways, like I'm not complaining. I
That's
just
the best
enjoyed it.
review ever right there.
It's so growing up, like we all, well, maybe not all of us, but I had Slash on my wall, as well as the Black Crowes and some Led Zeppelin posters. So what music posters did you have up on your wall as a teenager?
You know what? It's funny. I just wasn't most I didn't have any music posters. All of my stuff was all baseball stuff. Like
Oh, right
Mark
on.
McGuire,
Which makes sense.
like and baseball cards everywhere and like but I did have a record player and I we had this place called Hastings Music where you could go. This is before. Do you know Hastings?
Yes, and they
Okay.
don't exist
They don't
anymore.
exist.
But
No,
you could
nobody
buy used stuff there. There was movies and there was music and there was also like random other
So,
stuff. You could rent things. It was like a weird, yes. I
yes,
wish that I could fully
pre-Blockbuster.
explain it to people.
I think it was like before Blockbuster. I don't know. I don't remember when Blockbuster came out, but either way, I remember like going to Hastings and there'd be like, oh, the new album is out. I'm gonna and like you, they would have stations where you could walk, go from station to station, and put on a headphones and listen to the album. But that was the only way you could hear it without buying it, you know? Now we have it all streaming right away. But
Right.
you had to drive to to Hastings and then listen to the new album. And I bought so many like cassette singles and CD singles and albums. So I had. It's funny, nobody like this is like the only thing I was ever organized with was like my music and my baseball cards. I'd have everything in alphabetical order. I had all my CDs in alphabetical order, and nothing else was in order. You know?
Oh,
Like
right.
I had like
Only
it's so
two things that matter, right?
And so and I loved like and I think that's why I can't peg myself in a genre is because I loved all like genres. You know, like I was a huge John Denver fan, huge James Taylor fan. My dad was like a folk and bluegrass musician back in the 60s. So we grew up on like Peter, Paul and Mary and Bob Dylan.
Peter, Paul, and Mary was my first concert.
No way.
Nice.
We went to Peter, Paul and Mary when we were kids.
I mean, I
You
was
know?
like 8 or something when I went, but that was my first like
Oh, I think
concert a
that might have
million
been
years
mine
ago.
actually. That's I think that was because I was probably 7 or 8 years old. Yeah.
And yeah, and how, man, you just like hit my
Nostalgia bone there.
soul
You
a
feel
little
good.
bit. Yeah, it is so man, and you mentioned a whole bunch of like really amazing artists, but one of the other questions we always ask is your Mount Rushmore. So your top four artists or bands that you would, put up on.
Be any genre, doesn't have to be country.
So I mentioned Dave Matthews.
Okay, yep.
Him and just his band is just they're
Yeah,
incredible.
amazing, yeah.
And his music is so different than anybody else's. I just think I like he is his own genre almost. Like
Yeah.
that's hard to do. I think it's comes probably because he's from South Africa originally, I think, and like you're just I don't know, there's so much soul and like originality there with his music, and I love his stuff. So much so that my I don't know, he probably hasn't walked in the background, but my old English bulldog is named Dave after Dave Matthews, actually.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
So I would say James Taylor is way up there for me.
Yes.
Because I would listen to his albums, and like his guitar playing was so amazingly beautiful. And that was one of the, obviously my dad playing the guitar all the time. That made me want to learn. But I listening to James Taylor's stuff, I was like, so I went out and bought the James Taylor's Greatest Hits guitar tablature, which, so he
Oh,
was one of
wow.
the ones who made me want to learn play the guitar. And then he was also one of the ones that made me want to quit playing the guitar because I realized how hard his stuff was to play. It's not very good beginner like guitar
No.
learning music, you know. But I would say James Taylor is way up there for me. So we need four, huh?
Four. You got two. You got two.
I always say there's not many people I would pay an outrageous amount of money to see, but one of my regrets is never seeing Tom Petty in concert.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He like unbelievable. He was a hit machine, and all his songs were so good.
He was, yes.
But just prolific songwriter. Like, I mean, you don't realize how many actual amazing hits he had until you like really sit down and like, whoa, he
In
had
over decades,
unbelievable, like unreal.
he's.
So I'm a huge fan of him as well. And then I'd say for sure John Denver.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a huge John Denver fan. Like, so those are kind of all the ones that I like. When I started playing, I was like, "Ooh, I need to learn some of these songs, like from these guys."
It's funny. My dad also loved John Denver, or not John, James Taylor. We had a piano book, so he would play piano. John Denver. I mean, not John Denver. Man, you said John Denver like 12 times, and it is
Yeah,
imprinted in
it's
my
in your
brain.
mind.
James Taylor.
Yeah.
So I'm just here saying, like, I've seen fire, I've seen rain.
Oh, it's so good. And it's funny because like
Love.
he so several times I've posted a James Taylor cover, and then it gets shared on his Instagram. Like they share it, and I'm like, so I don't know if it's him doing it. I hope that'd be really cool. But I was like, honestly,
It
I was.
is. We're just gonna, it's him. We're just gonna decide it's him. That's
I'm
what we're
like,
gonna believe.
yeah, absolutely. I was like, what? James Taylor just shared my version of his song. I'm like, oh, and that's just to me. It was I definitely got. It was.
He's.
It made my like decade.
Oh, it that is amazing. There was, I mean, you already kind of answered one of the questions that we always ask is like the song that makes you feel just. It just gives you the feels every time you hear it, which I think you told us, and I of course didn't write it down. I just looked it up,
I
and so
have a
now I'm gonna.
mistake.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, for
So is
sure.
that like the song that you would like kind of go to that just gives you those feels, and you can't really explain what the feels are? They're just.
Yeah, there's another one. There's two other ones that for some reason hit me hard. They're both Mumford and Sons songs, actually. One of them is called Temshul. I don't know if you know that song or not. But when you get a chance, go back and look up Hell on Wheels. There was a show called Hell on Wheels on, I think it was on AMC. And there is a battle scene with this beautiful song by Mumford and Sons called Temshul. And for some reason, it was like just a song that you would never think to like be in a battle scene, but you should watch that. It will give you incredible goosebumps because it's such a hauntingly beautiful song. It's called Temshul. And then there was another one. It's another Mumford and Sons songs. I can't remember. It's called hang on, let me look that up. I know that's two songs. You asked me for one, and now I give you three.
Oh, I don't
I mean, yeah, I
know.
mean, you
Give
can think
us
about
all the songs.
yeah, I mean, yeah. We're
all the feels. So Mumford and Sons, it was on this, I think it was on this now it's gonna bother me until I know
Oh,
what
no, we'll
it is.
wait. Don't worry.
I will wait, I will wait, I will wait for you. So
I will.
Awake My Soul.
Okay.
Oh, and it says there will come a time My ADD just it is on overtime.
Yay. No, it's yeah, like meds, it's evening meds wearing off and
It's so
we've been
distracting.
here for an hour, I trust me, like why do you think I'm so good at finding things? I get stuck in rabbit holes.
All right.
It's no, it's not. It's not Awake My Soul. It's not. That's not it. Let me see. After the Storm. It's called After the Storm. Listen to that if you want a good cry. Because sometimes that just feels good.
It does. I think we underestimate the importance of just letting things out.
It's the, in this song, there's a lyric in this song that I'm gonna look it up right now. It says, I've got it right here. There will come a time you'll see with no more tears, and love will not break your heart but dismiss your fears. Get over your hill and see what you find there with grace in your heart and flowers in your hair. I was like, oh, it's such a good
Oh,
line.
yes.
For some reason, that one, that just like it gave me goosebumps again, just reading
It's
it.
a, yeah.
But when you hear the music, I mean, with it, it's just like I love the name of your podcast, by the way.
Well, thank you. Thank you
It's
so much.
there. That's
It's,
true. There's a difference when you speak something and when you sing it with it.
yes, absolutely.
It's on a new impact.
Yes.
I'm that person that I'm like, here, listen to this song because I can't really tell you how I feel about you or
It
tell
is.
you what I'm thinking or feeling, but like this song will do that.
Right? It's just like
I,
the
okay.
whole thing.
So I reconnected with a friend of mine from high school who we were talking and she sent me a picture of the like cover, not the cover, that's the wrong. Insert the word is leaving my brain, but I made a mixtape and it was the lunch table Christmas mix because it was our lunch table. And I did like cutouts from magazines and like colored each person's individually for them. And so she had kept it. Like that was from 1995 and
Oh,
she
God.
still had it. And I was like, are you kidding me? And she's like,
There
I
it is.
just, it was so special. Like here, to give you an idea of what those songs were, Night Swimming by REM, Sheryl Crow, Strong Enough, Supermodel by Jill Scoble, I'm gonna get that wrong. And then there were some Joan Osborne, Squeeze, Alanis Morissette, Toad the Wet Sprocket, Bon Jovi, Indigo Girls, Cranberries, the Juliana Hatfield Three, Violent Femmes, Soul Asylum, Dave Matthews Band, The
Yes.
Cranberries again, Joan Osborne again, and Toad the Wet Sprocket again, and REM again.
I love
Not
the fact that you had
quite the
squeezes
mix.
the band to, to mess with,
But yeah, I mean, it's so yes, mixtapes, because those were all of like our songs and they were fun. And the number of mixtapes that I got from people
Oh yeah, we're
as a
yeah.
kid, like growing up, they were the best because you couldn't make a mix, like you couldn't make a playlist like you can on whatever streaming
Right,
service you use.
for sure.
And there were commercials on the radio, or you didn't get the song you wanted. I mean, how many times we are of the generation, did you sit next to
I did, of
the
course.
radio, like, and wait to record
I
and then,
waited
like,
for Queen's
and be
Bohemian
like,
Rhapsody.
please, DJ, don't talk over the.
Right.
Oh, now I like kind of, I kind almost miss that. Not
Yeah.
really, but like almost, because it's the nostalgia of it and the
All
I
right.
would like,
Be
oh
able
my
to walk.
gosh.
All
Now
right.
I'm like, all the nostalgia today is
Love
just hitting.
it.
All
Love
right, so
it.
let's do some plugs for you, sir. Okay, so you can go to for everybody listening, you can go to jonathanmoody.com. He has everything on there. He has music, YouTube videos. He even got a shop you can buy stuff off, like hats, drinkware, hoodies, shirts, stickers too, if you're into that. He's on Instagram and Facebook under Jonathan Moody Music. On YouTube is Jonathan Moody, and we're on TikTok now, right? We've
Oh,
already
yeah.
TikTok, yeah. So Jonathan Moody Music, yeah. So it's either Jonathan Moody Music or Jonathan Moody. Either one works, right?
And
Yep, thank you.
And listen to his new album. Like, y'all, it's
yes.
It is.
Yes, it's
it will give you, it will give you all the feels, like we were talking about other music. It really, and you don't really know what you're going to get. Like, are you going to get some cowbell? Are you going to get some, you know, horns going? I don't know. Just so enjoy true. It.
Throwing curveballs all over the place.
It's fantastic. So
baseball player comes back to life and music.
That's right.
I love it.
All right, Mr.
Thank
Jonathan.
You so much.
Yeah, thank you so
Jonathan
much
for being here with us.
And we
thank
honestly do want you to come back anytime you want to, okay?
Yeah.
For sure.
And this if you're ever up in Denton playing or in South Carolina, let us know so that we can come and
I
experience you live, which is always a treat to hear.
Yeah, for sure.
Live music in person.
Love to see you guys. Yeah, thank y'all so much for having me on here.
Sure. Thank you. You had a great evening.
And with that said, everybody listening, always remember, when words fail,
music speaks.
Bye, guys.
Thanks.